Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. That's right, you're at the right place. This is Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and I have some kind of frog in my throat. So don't turn the dial or move your mouse. You're at the right place, where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today's show is sponsored by the Handmade Beauty Network, the place where you can go to find all kinds of wonderful natural beauty products made by hand from scratch using a large proportion of natural ingredients like shea butter and almond oil and real essential oils. Check them out at handmadebeauty.com. Well, you guys, it's the middle of June, and it will soon be summer if it's not summer already where you are. And I got to tell you, it has been hot over here in the Washington, D.C. area. But that doesn't mean that we can take our focus off the holidays. We have to have holiday time in July. And to help us do that so that we can see if we can get the media attention that our products deserve in some of the magazines and media outlets that are looking for products to feature in holiday issues, we have got the owner of the gift list here today. Amy Stumpf is who I'm talking about.
And good morning.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great. Amy has been a communications and marketing professional for more than 16 years, and her niche is specifically in the holidays. And her expertise is in helping business owners get their products, including beauty products, that's not all, but she does specialize in that as well, to get those products featured in the media during the holiday season. And Amy is the person to talk to if you're interested in that. And if you have a business, you got to be interested in that. Right, Amy?
Absolutely. I think that magazines, newspapers, wire services are all very interested in small businesses because everyone's looking to scoop the one unique item that no one else finds. So definitely do not think that you can't play with the big guys in this arena.
I'm so glad you said that. That is so important. And Amy, also for all you lifestyle CEOs out there, is also a lifestyle CEO. She runs her business from her home in California where she lives with her family, which includes three small children. Amy, how old are your kids?
I have a preschooler who will start kindergarten next year. He's five, and I have a little girl. My little one is Daniel. My middle is Sarah, and she's just finishing up second grade, and my oldest, Benjamin, is finishing up fourth grade.
Oh, great. So we've definitely got all the makings here for some great conversation. I have small kids, and many of the listeners to the show also have small children. And one of the questions, you know, just in general that every parent has when they have kids and they're also running a business is, do you have any tips for balancing it all? And you've got three young children, so and a successful business. What are just a few of the things that you do, Amy, on a daily basis to kind of keep it all working together?
I wish I had a very concise answer for that, but I think a lot of it is planning, preparation, knowing what you're going to do the next day, keeping a very tight control over your calendar. I think it's very disappointing when you miss those important milestones in your kids' lives. You want to make sure that if there's a school play or any kind of performance, that it's on your business calendar as well as your family calendar, because it just makes it so much harder when you have to cancel on one or the other. You want to make sure that as you plan and look at each month far in advance, you have everything down so that you can be at all the places that you need to be, because one isn't more important than the other. It's just that you want to be involved actively in your business and in control of your business, but you don't want your family to suffer for that as well. I mean, it just depends on how you prioritize it. But I think for me that is absolutely key, because I would start to feel neglectful of my business or my children if I didn't have full control of every appointment and on top of it on a daily basis.
That's something that you said that. Now, you mentioned that you have a business calendar and a family calendar. You keep them separate? I'm asking because I keep mine in one place. Do you use two?
I use a multitude of calendar things. In the kitchen, we have a giant calendar that has every event that we need to communicate to our whole family, from soccer games to, you know, mom and dad have something going on. Uh-huh. And then I use, on my computer, a calendar that has all of that information plus everything that I need to know for my business, all my business deadlines, my business schedule, even even on there on a weekly basis, I know on Thursdays I do payroll, and that's on my calendar because I need to make sure I don't overbook myself because then I will be in a just a very stressful place. So if I know that certain days I have my accountant coming in and we need to sit down, I allocate that and I keep that all on that calendar, as well as when I have any kind of special event for business such as this, or if someone calls and they want one-on-one training, and I put that in the calendar as well. I do not rely on keeping any of that in my head.
Yeah, that's a big mistake.
And then that gets synced with my Trio, which I carry with me all the time.
Okay.
So I can always check back, and I don't end up double booking because it's a, I think that working moms, the double booking becomes a big source of stress.
Yeah, because there's so many things to do. I love the calendar tip. We have one, too. And anybody who doesn't have one, it's one of the best things that's made everybody's lives a little bit easier. Thank you for sharing that, Amy. In your bio, I read that you started the Gift List Media website by sort of taking advantage of a mantra, that is, the early bird gets the worm. Tell us a little bit about how you started your business and how that slogan sort of fits in there.
Well, that slogan has been around for a really long time. We've used that in a variety of marketing tools. It's now a standard postcard that goes out every, you know, twice, very early in the year, about early May. We start with our postcard campaign, and the early bird gets the worm has been a theme for us. But it just came from the fact that when structuring our pricing, we really want, we wanted to give a discount to people that got in early. And it's almost a backwards way to think about it. I think that some people might think that you'd want to give a discount to those that come in very late in the game, like September or October, because deadlines have passed and they've, you know, the value has gone down a little bit. But we have the mentality that we want to encourage as many people to come in as early as possible, because it's part of an education that trying getting publicists to educate their clients or getting business owners to educate themselves on how early things actually do start for holiday. And so the early theme is we offer the early bird discount, and we try to advertise the early concept all the time throughout all of our media. Press releases contain it, our postcard contains it, our website contains it, because people are very disappointed when we get a call in, you know, October, thinking, all right, December's around the corner, we need to get in gear, and you're saying, well, October, you've missed almost every magazine, and you've missed a big bulk of the news wires and the syndicates, and a lot of the freelance columnists have already turned in their materials over to the staff editors, and you're looking at just dealing now with the newspapers and broadcasts, and you've cut out almost all of your print other than the local dailies. So we want to make sure that we get that message out, that if you're ready with your press release in May, you can exploit every single avenue of holiday media.
Okay, well, here it is, June the 12th, so everybody listen up. It is time to get started. Amy, I love that you sort of put it in that context, because you're right. All these publications are thinking so far in advance, far, far more in advance than we are. So thank you for reminding us all that it's time to really get in gear for the holidays and really schedule some time on your calendars this month to put together your media kit or your press kit, your photographs, and whatever it is to promote some of those holiday products. Amy, when you work with clients, let's say you have a brand new client, a small business owner. Let's say they're a cosmetics manufacturer. They have a very small, discreet, but well-planned line of products. Mm-hmm. And they come to you and they're interested in, okay, it's June the 12th. What can I do to get considered for some of the media placements? What are some of the things that you tell them they should look for to have all their ducks in a row to get started?
Well, I think that from our perspective, we have a couple different things that we can offer them. But in order to take advantage of any of the services or products that we offer, like you said, getting their ducks in order are key. They need to have a press release, and maybe think about editing that press release into a beauty product. I mean, using the beauty product example, we could, let's say it has an organic quality to it. Maybe it is something that might appeal to vegetarian or health and fitness people because it's all natural, or it has some components to it. So let's say, but let's say it also just has some great gift appeal or straight beauty product appeal, and the fact that it has a wrinkle removing aspect. So you want to think of all the different components of it. Who are all your audiences? And I think that that's a really important way to look at it, not so much as what are the attributes of the product, but who are the audiences that are going to be attracted to those individual attributes? And then think of the kind of media that those audiences go to. So let's say it has, let's say it is an organic, non-animal tested, et cetera, beauty product. There are quite a few health and fitness magazines that always look for things that have a health angle. But you're thinking beauty products, so maybe you're not looking through all the health and fitness magazines, but you should, and you should also tailor the press release to attract the editors that work in that industry. And that doesn't mean that you have to rewrite it all from scratch, but it does mean that you need to step into the shoes of someone who writes for an audience that's looking for health and fitness. Or on the other hand, you know, you think, and that's just one example of how you want to think outside the box. You're not just looking for a list of beat editors that cover beauty, because you're going to cut out a big segment of people that might run your product in conjunction with a larger issue.
So if we take a look at what you're saying, the very first thing to do is to identify and focus in on the niche that you're filling. Is it, you know, who is your audience? Who is going to buy this product?
Absolutely. Who are your customers? Where do they come? Right. Where can they potentially come from? Not necessarily where they are right now, but looking a little bit out there into where would you like to access them, and tailor the press release that way. Or another alternative is to have a standard press release that has all your basic information. Try definitely to not make that press release sound like an ad, but more like a news story. You want to focus on what is new about it or newsworthy about it. And product news is not hard news, but you definitely want to make sure that it has that, not as a commercial sounding piece, but more of a newsy piece. And then you can write customized pitch letters to accompany them that really identify each outlet individually. Why do I feel that my product would be a good fit for your outlet or the types of stories that you personally cover, and really make it personal? I think that the advent of email has been a great blessing, but it has also jaded editors to mass distribution of information, and they crave individual attention.
So there's a whole lot to think about, but the first thing is to get your niche together and nail that down, and then think about press releases or pitch letters. We're going to take our first break and come back and talk about that in more detail, Amy. For those of you listening who have questions, you can call in your question or comment in directly to Amy Live using our toll-free number, 800-773-0355. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're here with Amy Stump from GiftListMedia.com. and she's an expert at helping small business owners and business owners of all sizes get their products featured in the media during the holiday season. Before we went to our first break, we were talking about the importance of making sure that you understand your product well enough to define your niche, because that's the way you decide which magazines or which media outlets you want to pitch your products to. Right, Amy?
Absolutely.
So once you've done that, you mentioned getting together either a pitch letter or a press release. Can you tell us what the difference between those two are and how we can determine which one would work best?
Well, I don't think it needs to be or. It can definitely be both, and I think it often is both. I think you need a press release no matter what. If you needed to choose between the two, you would absolutely need a press release, because you're going to have that on your website, and it's going to be part of your media kit, and it's a standard piece of equipment that you need in your toolbox for doing any kind of media relations. But I think the pitch letter is something that you can add on to that to enhance it, to personalize it, and to make it. The press release talks about you, but the pitch letter addresses who the press release is being sent to and why the information in the press release is important to them, and that it makes the whole thing seem less generic, less mass distributed. I mean, they understand that you're not just sending one press release out, because why would you do that? But they want to feel that you've done your homework, you understand their outlet, you understand what they cover, and that you understand why the product, the information that you're providing to them is going to be a good fit. And the more you do that, the less work they have to do on their end, the more appealing using your information is to them, because it's already prepared. It's ready to go, and they can take that information, cut and paste, and sometimes if you really put together a nice package, you'll find that they may copy large portions of your press release word for word right into what they're working on. And that obviously depends on the outlet, the types of products they cover, what their uses are. But the more you present that relationship of why they want to use your information, the more likely you are to get more information in there, as opposed to maybe just a small mention. It's just getting that connection going.
And I really love that personalized attention that they get. And would you say it's fair to say, too, that, magazines, let's just say magazines, I know that's not, there's newspapers and everything, but let's take magazines, for example, they exist to enhance people's lives. So is a good way to look at it, how does your product enhance people's lives? And if your product will enhance their readers' lives, and it's well presented, then you have a decent chance of being included.
Yeah, I guess the enhancing their lives is really, I think they're probably, the editors might be thinking that way, the senior editors or the people at the next level are geared to thinking, is this what our readers want? Because if our readers are not finding what they want, they're going to buy a different magazine.
Right.
So it's figuring out what the readers are looking for, making sure that what they're seeing in their magazine isn't what they're seeing in every other magazine on the stands. They need to stay fresh. They need to stay unique. They need to stay up on the absolute latest and greatest, best and newest. And that's what keeps subscribers coming back. If you subscribe, just how you would experience in your own life, if you've subscribed to a magazine for years and years, and then all of a sudden it just seems like every issue has been there, done that, nothing new, or it just doesn't seem that it has that edge that it used to have. Information's in there that you can just find pretty much anywhere. The chances are when that mailer comes to subscribe to that outlet again, you are less likely to do it. You just don't feel the need to tune back into that outlet. So that's really what they're after, is they want to keep their readership coming back, and the way they do that is keeping them informed with information that they, maybe not necessarily that they can't get anywhere else, but it's information that they want at the time they want it that isn't necessarily that easy to get anyplace else. So that's really what you want to think of, and that's why it's called news, because it isn't what we already know about from last year. It's what is current, and tying any product into a trend is going to increase your chances of getting coverage tenfold.
Oh, gosh, that's an excellent tip, to tie things into a trend. You mentioned earlier something about media kits, and I'm going to mention our toll-free call-in number now for people who are trying to put together a media kit, or they already have one and they have some questions about it. You can call your question or comment in at 800-773-0355. Amy, what is a media kit, and what is the minimum items that it should contain?
I'd say the first piece in your media kit is going to be a business company overview. It just puts out, you can have your mission statement in there if you like. If you don't have a mission statement, you don't need to create one for your media kit. But you want to talk about what your company does, why they do it, and basically how it started and what it's doing currently. And if you are inclined, you can put in projections for where you want to go in the future. You don't need financial information in there. You may get asked that on occasion. Sometimes people want to know what your gross revenue is, but you are in no way obligated to advertise that information in the media kit, because the media kit is the handshake. It's the absolute first thing that someone sees. You don't need to expose your entire detail of your whole company in that one piece. So you want to think of it as an introduction. You don't want to overwhelm the person with information, but you don't want them frustrated that there's pieces that they need that now they have to call you. So you want to have the basics in there. So you've got your overview of your company, and then it's nice to have an overview of the founder or the owner or the president or the CEO in the form of a bio, not necessarily in the form of a resume, but in their story and why they ended up where they are. What caused them to think that this was a great idea? What was the aha moment that said, you know what, we need a product that does this, and how they came to do that, what their basic professional experience is. And then you could have a page of maybe straight business facts. You can have a page that describes all your products. You can have a pricing sheet in there. For product PR, it's a little bit different than for corporate PR. So you're going to definitely give them all the information they need about your products. And from there, anything else that you want to include, your press release will definitely go in there.
Okay.
If you want to include clips from prior press coverage that you've gotten, you can also include that, and you can do this for links online, or if it's a hard copy, you can just include photocopies of those clips as well. And that would be a great starter. You put it in a nice folder, you have a cover letter, and you can ship those out as hard copies, or you can convert it all to a PDF and attach it to an email. It's
okay.
Nothing to do about it.
What if you have products, do you recommend putting in a sample or anything like that?
You know, it depends on how broad your campaign is. If you start out your campaign saying, you know, I'm short on staff, it's just me, I don't have the budget to hire anyone, I'm going to try this the first year and I'm just going to do it on my own, I would not recommend sending out 1,000 press releases, because basically you have wasted your time with, you know, 900 of those, because the key to actually getting placement is in the follow-up. Anyone can send out a press release, and everyone is sending out press releases. So just to do that will never get you, you know, the chances of getting ink from that are very slim. So you want to, if you're on your own and you have a short on budget, short on time, I would go through and pick out the top 50 outlets that you think, not necessarily your dream list, but your reality list. Who is most likely to cover you? You know, everyone would say, I'd love to be on Oprah's 10 favorite things at Christmas time, but are you going to put all your eggs in that basket? No, because only 10 companies are going to make it out of the hundreds of thousands of submissions that they get. Realistically, if you have a toy product, look at the local parenting magazines. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that are most likely going to cover you. Send them out an email. Follow up with a hard copy, especially if they've inquired. And then follow up by phone, and on the phone offer to send a sample. And I would say for a small campaign, that would be a totally appropriate way to go about it. Huge companies send out samples with every press release because they have unlimited funds.
Right.
I don't think that we're necessarily in that boat.
Right.
If it is an inexpensive product, maybe you want to pick your top 20 and send a hard copy press kit with a sample. That would be a great way to get their attention. Make sure that it is packaged beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Do not throw it in a manila envelope and ship it out.
Right.
If you're going to take the time and energy and the expense of sending out a sample, create a presentation, and it's worth finding a graphic artist to help you, even if it's just a couple hours of consult to brainstorm some ideas. It's important that it looks nice. And beautiful JPEG images for email are absolutely necessary. 8x10 glossies, a must in a hard copy. You definitely would want to send those. And I would also consider investing in seamless white background, product shots only, no models and no gingerbread.
Really?
Products
so
on white background.
You mean no props?
You know, it depends on the product, but I think that if you have shots like that, they're fine, but you also want to have the white background.
Okay, so that they can basically take it and use it.
Yes, you want to have it available.
Anywhere on any page in their magazine, they don't have to crop out the gingerbread or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if they call you and they need it in a week and you don't have it available, that could make or break your ability to
right.
make their press deadline.
Right. They usually need it less time than that, too, don't they?
They absolutely could. You just don't know if you could hire a photographer and get exactly what you want in that amount of time, and you don't want to put yourself in that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't. You can get a really good quality white seamless white background JPEG for a couple hundred dollars. So it's definitely something, like I said, add it to that toolkit.
All right, Amy, those were great points for everyone to remember, especially the photography point, because we're sometimes so desirous of getting in like props and everything to make our product look good. It's really nice to know that the editors sometimes just want to see the product and they can use that photograph in their website without having to crop out props and things that you might have included in your picture. That's great information. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk more with Amy Stump from Gift List Media. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. Donna Maria, we'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. If my voice went out on you, it wasn't your fault or your computer or the Global Talk Radio Internet website. It was me, so I apologize for that. If my voice didn't go out, just ignore what I just said. We are back with Amy Stump from Gift List Media, and this lady is giving us a whole world full of information that we can use to try and get our products featured in the holiday media. So if you don't already have a pen and paper out and you just joined us, you want to get one right now. We've already gone through finding the niche that you want to focus on for your business as well as what should be in your media kit. So Amy, okay, I've sent out my media kits and I have focused on, in addition to magazines, I have decided to focus in my own backyard to a couple of the local radio stations and TV stations in my area, and lo and behold, a producer from the local television station is interested in, let's say I'm a soap maker and she wants to learn a little bit about how I make my soap, and they want to have me on TV in 2 days for a 2.5-minute segment, and I've never done it before, and I'm terrified and my hair is a mess. What do I do?
Well, I think that the key thing is that you are what the first thing you do is take yourself out to dinner, because that is a huge coup.
Okay.
You should be so happy. The first thing you're doing is jumping for joy, because what your hair looks like is completely secondary to the fact that you have now a huge media success on your hands.
Right.
You're going to be in front of a large local audience, and that information is going to just get picked up by the local paper, and you're going to have a great clip for your website, and you're going to parlay that 2-minute segment into, you're just going to milk it for all it's worth. And the only thing that you can do, they want you on tomorrow. You run out to the store, you buy a nice tailored suit, you buy whatever you think that is going to express the personality of your product, and you get you know, you go in, you make a hair appointment, a nail appointment, whatever you need to do. You just get yourself there. You got the babysitter on call. I mean, whatever you have to do to get there, you go, because you do never, ever fear success. Never, ever be afraid that I'm going to go on and I'm going to say something inappropriate or I'm going to make a total mess of it, because you haven't yet, and to plan on that is just, you know, cutting yourself off at the knees for no reason. And I never say to yourself, I don't want to do that because it might be too much exposure and I can't handle it. I'm not ready for my business to grow that quickly. I think that it's a common fear that mothers have that work, because they're under so much pressure to get so many things done that when their business starts to grow, they just feel, oh, I need to slow this down. But the fact of the matter is, there's nothing wrong with your business growing. That's why you are in this business, is that you want it to grow. And the good news about business growing is that you can afford help at your office, more at your house, or wherever you need help. And you know, any amount of business growth just means another, you know, intern or office staff coming in to help lighten your load, and it's just nothing that you want to fear. You accept every media opportunity, unless you feel the outlet or the host or that you think in some way might be antagonistic towards your product. I mean, that would be the only thing that you're interested in avoiding.
Okay, so let's say that's probably not going to be an issue, and then is there a way to, you know, ask the producer, okay, excellent, let's schedule a date, you can come out. Can you say, without sound, you don't want to sound like you're totally, you know, without any kind of concept of what's involved, because then they might get a little bit nervous. But let's just say can you ask them something like, okay, I'd be happy to be on your show. Can you tell me exactly what I would need to, you know, to get ready for this? What would you like for me to do to be as best prepared as I can? And then that way, let them tell you exactly what they're looking for?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you would definitely want to ask that question. They would be surprised if you made no inquiries as to the nature of the segment at all. They would think that was a little strange, that you weren't interested in being prepared. And you might offer some suggestions. You might say, you know, do you have a particular angle that you want to cover? If not, I would suggest X or Y. That might be interesting. Does that sound good to you? They might respond, and then you definitely would work out, because they know and you know that you're not going to cover everything about what you have to offer in a two-minute segment. I mean, hopefully maybe you might get a little bit longer, but you want to ask them, are you interested more in me as a small business owner or as a local business, or are you interested more in my product? I mean, what do you want me to focus on? And they want you to ask that. They want to start thinking about those things, and you can say, I think a really interesting thing to discuss would be whatever it is, and then you can
Put
that forward. That does not necessarily advertise green to them.
Okay. Love that you said that, because, you know, watching television and reading magazines and newspapers today, as much as I do, it's obvious that not only is the story the product that you have for sale, but it's also you and how you started it.
And the resources that you use as well. Sometimes people will interview local companies because they want to know how they have made a success of themselves, or whatever they use. You know, maybe they're interested to know what kind of advertising you do. Maybe, you know, they probably won't ask about publicity, but maybe they're interested in the tools that you use as a small business from a local angle. You know, if we're talking local newspapers and local radio, local television, they have that interest always on their plate, because that's their audience and that's what they serve.
Right, and they may want to actually come into your workspace, which in many lifestyle CEO instances is in their home. So that may be an issue, too, of, you know, tidying up whatever the workspace is so that, you know, a camera crew can come in. And if you're really a little bit nervous about having people come to your home with all the wires and stuff, can you ask them if they have a studio kitchen and if maybe they can do the segment there? Is that sort of out of line?
I was going to say, if you worked at home, I would try to discourage them. I mean, unless you had a very professional-looking workspace, maybe you have a guest house that you've converted and it has a very office feel, I think most homes are not set up to be lit properly. They don't have big enough depth to get cameras far enough away in order to capture what they need. It's not an easy thing to shoot at home. It's not something that you would necessarily want. And for a short segment, like you said, if they have a test kitchen or you can maybe, if it's definitely a kitchen thing, if they don't have one, I'm sure there's a local catering company that has a professional kitchen that you could utilize after hours for a fee.
Right.
Bringing someone into your home, unless you are ready for them to come and you don't mind having, you know, gaffer tape all over your walls, then I think it's appropriate to say I'm not so sure that my home is the best location for this shoot.
Okay.
And see what they say. I mean, if they're very insistent on it, you could say, why don't you come out and look first, and then we can discuss what we can do to make sure this comes across as good as it possibly can.
Okay, good. That's really good tips. Now, what if, okay, so the radio station calls, or actually let's stay on the television for a while, too. I've heard of something called media training. What sorts of things can a person do in 48 hours to sort of self-train themselves? I know it's, you know, you can't hire somebody or even read much of a book on it during that time frame, but do you have some tips on, you know, some small things that a newcomer can do to make the best presentation on television?
Well, I think you want to nail down your angle, like we talked before. If they say we want to talk about your product and why this is, you know, part of a growing trend, stick to that topic.
Okay.
And I think that this is a difficult thing for entrepreneurs because the entrepreneurial spirit in all of us is one that draws us to every aspect of our business.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hard time turning over certain aspects of our business, so we understand all aspects of our business and therefore feel that we don't want to leave anything out, and we end up sounding a little ADD, so that we're talking about all the different things that we do and they're not focused. And I think that if you feel that you could fall into that category, you should sit down and say, this is the angle that they want to cover. Here are what I think the three most important things about the three most important points that I want to make. Why is this an important part of the trend? Why did I decide to go in this direction? What prompted me to create a product like this? These top three things, the points that you want to make that are focus like a laser beam on the angle that you and the segment producer have, you know, already agreed on. Then you want to have, like, your top 10 points that you want to make. Review them for cohesiveness. Do they flow together as a story? Make sure they're not too disjointed. And you want to have it written down. You want to go over it in your head. They may let you have just a sheet of paper down on the desk while you're there.
Right.
And, of course, if they let you do that, you want to ask, would there be a place for me to have a note? And put that out because, you know, they want you to be prepared and they don't want the interview to just ramble on and on and on.
Right.
You've got your 10 points you want to make and you've looked at them. They don't repeat. They bring in different things and then you can go to them in a minute. They ask you a question. You know that list. You hone right into it and it brings your mind to that one point so that you're not scrambling for six different things that you want to say. You've got it all in front of you. And that should be okay with it. I can't imagine being in a situation where they wouldn't let you have notes. I mean, the anchors have
right.
notes. So.
Yeah, well, if you look close enough on a lot of shows, you see pieces of paper taped to the table anyway.
Of course. Because you can expect to get nervous. And I think pursuing
right.
just a small amount of preparation
mm-hmm.
is a good idea. Doing a huge amount of preparation probably isn't the best idea.
Yeah,
you know your product.
Stick
Who knows it better
point.
Than you?
Right. We're going to take another break. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show, talking with Amy Stumpf today from Gift List Media. You can call your question or comment in to 800-773-0355. We'll be right back.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show, everyone. We are here with Amy Stumpf of Gift List Media, and we have been talking about getting together your presentation to send to the media so you can have the best chances of being featured in some of the holiday stories. And now that we've gone through the things that need to be in the presentation, Amy, let's talk a little bit about the time frames that we have to work with. It is now June the 12th. So that is a full 6 months before Christmas, before the holiday season, all of them. Kwanzaa, Passover, all of those, not Passover, but all of those holiday seasons right down there in December. We want to look at what we can do right now. It's not too late, right?
Oh, absolutely not. This is the best time to get started. And I think that you want to think about the holiday pitching season as starting June 1, going all the way through to December 1, even December 15 for some radio and broadcast. And that is really good news because it gives you a chance to target, maybe you want to put out, you're going to pick 400 media outlets, and you think, oh, my gosh, that's so huge. How will I ever manage that? But if you really think about having six-plus months to deal with that, you can break them down into small, digestible pieces, send out a handful of press releases every 2 weeks, and then the next 2 weeks you send out another group, and then you follow up with the group you sent out the previous 2 weeks, and they're small amounts to handle each week. If you sent out 400 press releases in one day, they would all fall by the wayside because you could not physically make follow-up phone calls to every single one of them in a timely manner. And you cannot send a press release on June 1st and follow up on September 1st. You must follow up within, I mean, there's no hard and fast rules, but I would say ideally a follow-up call 7 to 14 days after the original contact is when it's going to be enough time for them to digest it. Not everyone opens the email the day they get it. You want to give them enough time to open it, read it, but not forget about it. And that's when you want to come in with your follow-up phone calls. So that is a great thing that holiday pitching goes for 6-plus months, because then you can spread it out into something that is not going to be too stressful and is very manageable. We start our data collection, making our phone calls to the media, finding out what their plans are for holiday, the last week in April. And, you know, we have a hand-picked few that we call then. We're not calling, obviously, every magazine in that time frame, but there are Ladies Home Journal, Red Book, Family Circle, the big women's glossies. By the end of April, they have a pretty good handle of what they're going to be looking for holiday. So we make those calls initially, and we start posting leads to our database for holiday at the beginning of May. So those, and not, you know, obviously there isn't, everyone's not ready at that point, but you can start slowly at the very beginning. There are some people that are ready. I think for the most part, magazines are going to be are going to have June, July, August deadlines. The newswires and syndicates are going to have deadlines over the summer. Starting September, you're going to start with the newspapers. Most of the deadlines are going to be September, October. Some columnists will have deadlines that run into November. And the TV, national TV and radio, their deadlines are going to be more October, November, and into December. So you have a way to break up all the different outlets into, you know, seasonally throughout the year and pace yourself. And that kind of planning is key to success because, like I said, if you don't time your follow-up in a way that you can stay on it, they'll just fall through the cracks. So it's a good thing that it lasts all year.
Well, that's great. So you could actually make a chart, like a calendar chart, mm-hmm. for each of those different kinds of media outlets, put the time frame at the top, the media outlets to the left, and track your contacts with them.
Yes. Oh, and absolutely. I mean, we probably don't have time to go into this. It would be a whole other show. But PR is an unbelievably tedious project, and you need to go into it with the mindset that if you are not detail-oriented and very meticulous about what you do, then you might do well to hire someone or have your partner or figure out who's best to handle it, because you must keep track of everyone you have sent information to,
right.
The date you sent it, what you sent to them, and the date you followed up, what you discussed in that conversation, because if you go back to them, they expect that you remember what you've talked about. They don't care that you've spoken to 50 other people in the past week. That is of no
right.
concern to them.
Right.
You must keep very detailed notes and also follow up with who actually runs media on you, because if you approach them the next year, you can't approach them as a fresh person. You approach them as an insider.
Right, you have to maybe kind of have something new then. When you talk about following up, Amy, what is involved in that? What if you follow up and get voicemail? What if you follow up and she answers the phone and says, you know, this is really not a good time, or who are you again? I mean,
right, well, you're going to get that. I mean, I think that ideally you want to call everyone between 9:30 and 11:30 their time. Keep a world clock. You can get one on the internet. You just, you know, plunk it onto your toolbar so you know where, basically you want to know where New York is all the time. Most, you know, a lot of media is in New York.
Right.
But you want to know, you want to keep track so that you're not calling them at lunch and you are not calling them on deadline, and you never want to call a newspaper reporter after lunch, because they will be very unreceptive.
Right.
Chances are they won't remember who you are, so that you need to design, write, edit, and print out a 30-second concise wrap that you can say to them on the phone that doesn't sound too canned, but that has everything that they need to know to trigger their memory from the press release. Maybe they didn't open the press release, so you need to know exactly how to get what you want out, and I would say you can get 30 seconds before they're going to respond, and that you should be prepared then to know what you're going to offer them. You could say, well, why don't I send you a hard copy press kit with a sample? And then if they say, you know, it really isn't a good fit, then you just thank them and move, you know, cross them off your list.
Right.
I think if you actually get through to them in person, you'll know what your future is at that outlet. And I think that with voicemail, it would probably, you know, a good benchmark would be 3 voicemails. You know, anything more than that sort of, you know, might could be interpreted as stalking. So, and they don't want to have that feeling that you're hounding them and that you're getting very aggressive. I think anyone who, you know, you don't want to call 3 times in one day either. So you want to pace it out every couple days if you keep getting voicemail. You can, it might be nice to pace it where you send out your initial press release and then just do a follow-up email, buys you a little time while you're waiting to catch them at their desk. Some editors never answer their phone.
Right.
So,
right. Some never answer email.
You need to sort of attack them from. If it's an outlet you really want, you're going to send them an email, press release, attach your media kit. Then you're going to send a follow up email, and then you're going to send a hard copy with a sample, and you're going to follow up by phone. I mean, if this is something that you really want, you need to come at them from all angles. As a, you know, anything short of, you know, showing up at their office. So. And there's no harm in showing tenacity. There isn't anything that, if they really don't want you to call again, they will send you a brief email that says, I'm sorry, but we're just not interested. That's the business that they're in.
Right. And it certainly is easier for them to do that than to just drag things out for everyone.
They are not interested in doing that. If they are not interested, they want you to stop contacting them.
Wow. Well, Amy, this has been such great information. Now, I know that your website, giftlistmedia.com, has some information about your services, and I want to direct my listeners there so they can take a look around and see what services you offer, since we are right at the time frame to get things together for the holidays. Can you give us a little bit of an overview about your services or what might be most interesting to people who are listening to the show today?
Well, we offer two different branches. We have the database products, which is our research that we conduct. We have 10 staffers that have worked in the media. They're media professionals. They work for me making one person to person. We develop our list from scratch, bottom up, every year, the old-fashioned way, on the phone with that editor, and we interview them about what their specific plans are for holiday and what they cover in terms of consumer products year-round. Our niche is only consumer products and only consumer media. We're not interested in a new pharmaceutical, and we're not pitching, you know, automotive trade magazines. We're not interviewing automotive trade magazines. So we're looking at consumer outlets and editors that cover consumer products. So we're really in that niche. And we compile these databases for online access that people subscribe to. Publicists and business owners alike subscribe to those databases, and they conduct their publicity campaign based on that research, because we've weeded out all the dead ends, all the editors that want PR, et cetera, et cetera. So those are the things that we're looking at, just editors that are developing product-based stories, and are interested in receiving PR in order to develop those stories. So that's what we want in the database.
Right.
And then we also offer a distribution service for those who just are not up for the actual getting going. I mean, I think that starting the campaign is very difficult. What we can do is get your press release written and distribute it to our list, and we just send you an Excel spreadsheet, basically, of the contacts that we've distributed your press release to, and then you can concentrate solely on follow-up, because it is time-consuming. So those are the two different branches.
Really, really great, and I see that you also do product photography, and you do press release writing services and distribution.
Right, that's all getting ready to distribute. We'll get you ready to go. We'll get that the press release out, and then
get over to giftlistmedia.com and check it out, everyone. You've got to see. It's a great service, and it's very well-rounded, and it's priced to help anybody, big budget or small budget. Amy, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate all the great information you provided. I want to let you guys know that, again, giftlistmedia.com is the place to go to get information about getting your products in the holiday media. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. Donna Maria here, signing off until next week. In the meantime, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. And check out my new book, The Lifestyle CEO Book, at my website, lifestyleceo.com. Have a great week, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.